Our scripture passage for this week comes from the Gospel of Mark. Listen now for God's holy word. Jesus, talking to his disciples, says, "But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be aware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake." The grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but this, the word of the Lord, remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Today is the first Sunday in a new church year. It's kind of like New Year's Day for us, and New Year's is a good time to stop and take stock of the year that has gone by. And I'm wondering how everyone feels about the year that has been. How are we feeling about 2020? I don't think it's controversial to claim that 2020 has been a difficult year. In response to all of the negative press that this year has received, a journalist named Rebecca Renner wrote a piece for National Geographic. It's available online, and the title is "Why Every Year, But Especially 2020, Feels Like the Worst Year Ever." A lot of what Renner writes about in this article is interesting. Some of it is helpful, and it makes me reflect on the place of hope in the lives of us, Christ's servants in this world. In her article, Renner explains that our current obsession with the news and social media is, in fact, not very good for us. Renner explains that across the country and across the world right now, we are more obsessed with the news than we ever have been in the past. We are consuming more news than ever before for a couple of reasons. The first reason is that there is so much news that is compelling to us right now. Our brains are set up to be vigilant and to look for danger. We, like all creatures in this world, we are designed to be vigilant, to always be on the lookout for potential threats or dangers to our health and safety. And this past year, there have been so many stories in the news that have triggered that natural vigilance, that natural response to danger. Obviously, since February, the coronavirus has been in the news, and it has wrapped our attention. We have tuned into the news asking questions like, will it spread here? And how does this virus work? And what can we do to protect ourselves? And what are the numbers like in our area this week? And are the schools going to stay opened? And does the supermarket have toilet paper? The virus has kept our attention trained on the news. Aside from the virus, there has also been unrest in our country over issues of race and racism. Movements have risen up, filling the airways with news of protests and riots and marches and demonstrations. There have been horrifying natural disasters this year, spurred on by climate change, like wildfires in California and Australia. And of course, the news has also followed a supercharged presidential political campaign, which itself has been stoked and inflamed by all the other newsworthy stuff that I just mentioned. The volume of troubling news this year is one factor that explains our obsession with the news, but Rainer points out that there's another factor, the reality that we have more news available to us now than ever before. We have more ways of getting our news. We have cable television. Cable television with networks and channels that are devoted to nothing else but just current events, just the news. Many of us have our TVs tuned in to our favorite channels, and some people just keep the news on in the background of their lives all the time. We have TV news, radio news, but we also have the moment-to-moment news that is social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and others. It is there, on social media that we see the effect of these current events, the virus, the racial unrest, political, presidential politics. We see it playing out in the lives and the newsfeed of our friends and family and colleagues and neighbors. Like a TV that is always on in the background, our social media is always ready. It's always there when we feel the urge to be vigilant and to see what is going on. We can always take it out. And by design, we can then scroll endlessly. There is no end right now to the news that we can consume. In her article, Renner points out a fascinating result from all of this news consumption. She makes the claim that for us, the present has never been more present. Never been more present than it is right now. The present is here, always portrayed right before us. We know what is going on locally here and in our country and around the world. We know the thoughts and the ideas and the experiences of friends and family all throughout the world. We have all of this news and information at our fingertips, and our brains are constantly telling us, look out, find out what's next. Has a news story broken? Maybe you should check and see. We are tuned into the present, the happenings of the world around us, the opinions and the thoughts and the ideas of the current events. We are tuned in like we have never been tuned in before, ever in the history of humanity. And so, as Renner says, the present moment has never been more present. We are saturated with the present. And in her article, Renner explains some of the effects of living with such a present present. She talks about a study from 2017 done by the American Psychological Association, and the survey looked at people's news consumption, and it found that people who reported constantly keeping up with the news also reported things like lost sleep, higher stress, more anxiety and fatigue, and other negative mental health symptoms. Another study found, and I quote, a direct correlation between time spent watching television and the likelihood that the watcher would perceive the world as more frightening or dangerous, end quote. The researchers gave this phenomena a name, that the more TV you watch, the more dangerous you view the world. They called it the mean world syndrome. Watching the news constantly, constantly giving into the urge to see what is happening, to know the breaking stories are breaking, living too deeply in the present isn't good for us. It makes us think that the world is actually worse than it is, and it makes us lose sleep and causes us other negative effects to our health. Now, Rainer's point in writing about all of this is to encourage us, her readers, to be mindful about how we engage with the present, how we engage with television news and social media. She's trying to help us in an effort to keep the present in proper perspective. In an attempt to help us keep things in perspective, Rainer also points out how things were actually worse in the past, even worse than the year 2020. Reading this article this week and keeping it in conversation with our scripture passage, it struck me as interesting that Rebecca Rainer's piece has a focus on just two aspects of history. Her focus is on our relationship to the present and on our perspective of the past. What Rainer does not engage with, whether intentionally or not, is the topic of the hope we might have for a better future. In our scripture passage for this morning, Jesus' message to his disciples is in part that they should look ahead to the future with hope in the midst of his own troubling present. Jesus instructs his friends to keep their hearts yearning for and trusting in a coming better tomorrow. In our passage from the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is on the verge of being arrested and crucified. In this difficult moment, Jesus explains to his disciples that the present is going to be difficult. He warns his disciples that they will continue to experience hardships as they follow the calling to be his servants in the world. Jesus predicts that they will live in a violent and turbulent world, a world where there will be wars and conflicts and sorrows and troubles and tribulations and difficulties. Jesus is clear with the disciples that life will not suddenly become perfect because of their faith in him or because of his death and resurrection. Jesus tells his disciples to buckle up. The world is a broken place. It is loved by God, but yet it is still broken. But Jesus' advice His guidance to the disciples isn't just to keep the present in perspective. Jesus doesn't say, hey, things are going to be bad, but they've always been bad, even worse at times, so don't be too depressed when the sorrows and troubles come your way. Jesus' advice is also not just to avoid the news. Jesus doesn't say the news is going to be sad, so maybe just do the crossword puzzle this week. After admitting to the difficulties of the present, Jesus' next move is to point the disciples to the future. He explains that something dramatically different and dramatically better is in store. Jesus will leave for a time, and Jesus' promise and the plan of God Almighty is that one day Jesus will return. He will come again. And when he does, Jesus' words tell us that God will bring God's plans for all things to their full and final and their glorious and good conclusion. Jesus points to the future, and because of God's love and God's undefeatable plans, Jesus offers hope. In her article, Why Every Year, But Especially 2020, Feels Like the Worst Year Ever, Rebecca Rayner wants us to remember the past and to keep the present in perspective. Much of what she writes about relates to our vigilance. Her point is that right now we are too vigilant when it comes to the present. Jesus' message is also a message about vigilance. His message is that we should be vigilant, not just on accomplishing the work that he has given us to do here in this present time, but also to keep our hearts vigilant. Vigilant to the reality that he has promised to come again. And when he does, he will come to bring a better tomorrow. He ends his instructions to his friends with a parable about vigilance. Keep watch, stay vigilant, stay awake. Amen.